You pressed play on this podcast with the click of curiosity. It is another dimension, a dimension of mind, a dimension where nothing is sacred and everything is explainable. You're streaming into a land of both inside and outside, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into the midside.
Welcome to the midside, where we take a Louisville Slugger to both headlights. I'm Justin M. Lesneski. Joining me this week, as always, is Daniel T. Richards.
I prefer a metal baseball bat, but...
That's because you didn't get the reference. Louisville. That was a double reference.
And he's the one living in Texas.
Yeah, and you're living in Texas. Come on, man. You moved over there. And you just heard, joining us again this week, is the doctor. Hopefully you'll be able to hear him this week.
Yeah, my girl voice is all gone, so hopefully you can hear me.
Yeah, we'll blame it on that and not my my technical error. So let's get right into it with the news with Daniel T. Richards.
So the first thing up is Mount Gox, which is not a mountain you can climb, at least not anymore. Mount Gox was one of the world's biggest Bitcoin exchanges, and it just filed for bankruptcy protection in Japan last Friday, saying it has lost nearly $500 million worth of virtual coins due to hacking into its faulty computer system. So, first question I have is, do either of you know what a Bitcoin is?
I've studiously avoided knowing what a Bitcoin is. I have a friend who actually, I came up with the term. He was asked about Bitcoin, and he started doing research, and 5 hours later, at some ungodly hour in the morning, he figured out that he didn't know any more than he did when he started, and I said, yeah, you got Bitcoined. So we now use that as a term for any time that you tell someone something that's so interesting that they spend hours on the internet wasting their life away researching it with not really much to show for it. And with that warning, I know that Bitcoin is a virtual currency, but I suppose everyone knows that.
And I know that it's something that nerdcore rapper Whitey Cracker fills my newsfeed with constantly. So basically the same thing the doctor just said. Something you do on the internet, waste your time, and nothing really comes from it.
Yeah, I mentioned Bitcoin to my mother, and she asked if it was edible money. I said,
well, they look like those little...
No.
I mean, when they represent it online, it does look like those little... gold coins that kids give at the holidays?
Or it looks like chocolate. From a video game.
Hmm. Yeah, it's true. So Bitcoin, to give a little bit of background, is a virtual currency that relies on a network of computers that solve complex mathematical problems. I'm reading this straight from Reuters. And as a process, it verifies and permanently keeps records of the details of every Bitcoin transaction, so there's no middleman, meaning no bank holds Bitcoins, really. There's exchanges where you can exchange your real money for the virtual currency, but ultimately, no banks issuing how much Bitcoin should be in the market or restricting it,
et cetera.
But Dan, can
you exchange your Bitcoin back for real money? That's the question. I mean, yeah. I know you can give money to other people for Bitcoin, but can you do it the opposite way? Otherwise, it seems completely useless.
You can, in fact, through these exchanges, well, not through Mt. Gox, but through some of the other exchanges, go back and forth just like any other currency. Hmm. So basically, from what I can figure out, the only thing that keeps Bitcoin valuable is that people believe in the value of Bitcoin.
And I hear it's a great way to buy opium.
Yeah, if you're going to buy anything illegally, you should buy it with Bitcoin.
wasn't that one of the other big exchanges, the one called Silk Road? That it was a way that people were fencing all kinds of illegal opium and whatnot.
Isn't that what keeps any currency afloat, people believing it's valuable?
Well, it's an interesting discussion. Certainly, I think our dollar right now at least resembles that a little bit.
A little bit?
A little bit.
I'm pretty sure the Chinese are keeping our dollar valuable, aren't they?
Probably.
It's the bit dollar right now. But, so this thing about Mt. Gox, though, is that They basically have lost 750,000 bitcoins. They're sort of gone, and 100,000 of their own.
It's hard to keep track of those little things.
Yeah, that's what I don't understand about the use of the terminology "lost" here, right? Besides making me think about an island, if you told me it makes it so every transaction is traced. So there's a record of it. That's what the article said. Yes. How do you then lose that?
Someone hacks your system and falsifies the records.
That's what they did. So they deleted it, basically.
Maybe. I mean, someone if it's all virtual, it's got to be... They introduced errors in the calculations that are supposed to keep track of those things or something.
Yeah, someone hit backspace instead of the plus sign, and it was gone.
RM all.
I don't...
Unix nerds out there.
Particularly understand, but...
There's one wrong character in the code right now, and they have to go back and find it.
Right. So, to me, and I know there are probably, you know, in our droves of listeners, at least a few Bitcoin experts who would are going to send us hate mail for this, but to me it just seems like sort of... It seems like PayPal on steroids, basically. And so I imagine it would be the same way if someone hacked into your PayPal account and emptied it.
Hmm. Well, I guess I use PayPal wrong then, because I just have PayPal connected. I'm fearing saying this right now because one of those hackers is going to come after me. But I just have it connected to my bank account. So when I pay, it takes money out of my bank and gives it to the person.
Well, okay, that makes sense. I use it to collect funds as well from marketing clients. Sometimes I leave money in there because I also have transactions, like I give money to the Center for Industrial Progress and it just deducts it right out of my PayPal account.
So when you get money, it doesn't go direct in your bank account, it goes into PayPal?
Yeah, and then if I want to transfer it, I can, but...
Oh, I have my $2 of sales from my Nerdcore EP in my PayPal account. The one $2 bid somebody put in for it. No, I didn't know that. So then do they take a percentage like a bank does, PayPal?
If you transfer over a certain amount, they take either a transaction fee or a percentage, whichever is higher.
Oh, okay. Did Bitcoin do something similar? Like, was this just a scheme for someone to get free money?
So the exchanges, from what I understand, did charge transaction fees. But if you were directly paying for something with Bitcoin or receiving Bitcoin, there are no transaction fees.
So then what I'm hearing is Bitcoin is the Flappy Bird of currency. Somebody made this, people got irrationally excited about it, and then he deleted it after making millions of dollars.
So I do want to clarify that Bitcoin itself did not bite the dust. There are other Bitcoin exchanges. People still have Bitcoins. It's just that Mt. Gox was the biggest exchange of Bitcoin.
But
and they
no
are now out of
business. But there's no value to Bitcoins. Isn't that the problem?
Well, they fluctuate on the market, don't they?
Right. They fluctuate on a market. Exactly. On an exchange rate.
So I should buy low and sell high?
Yes. So the problem is that Bitcoin has gone radically high and radically low in short periods of time. It's we haven't really found an equilibrium yet with this virtual currency.
So it's a good time to buy low then because it's going to fluctuate high again.
Perhaps.
And then the next high it goes, just pull out real quick.
That's what she... Okay.
No,
so,
that'll kill it. Don't.
Yeah. So the other thing about Bitcoins, I don't know if you know this, is how people can get them other than through exchange, but you can get them by doing virtual mining for Bitcoins in a sort of bizarre metaphor for mining for gold, which is that you have your computer or other computers solve really complex mathematical problems, which helps in the encoding of the transactions. And then as a reward, you're given Bitcoins for this. And it gets the more Bitcoins that are in the market, it gets harder to mine the Bitcoins. And at a certain point, it will become so hard that it's in essence, you're the limit. There will be no more Bitcoins to be mined.
So some hacker just made a program to mine Bitcoins, and he made free money, basically.
I mean, a lot of people make programs to mine for Bitcoins. That's why it gets exponentially harder to mine for them.
Does this have anything to do with Minecraft?
No.
You could probably buy Minecraft with Bitcoins.
All right, good enough.
So that's all I got. It still, I feel really old when I talk about Bitcoin or Snapchat.
When I was your age, we paid with actual coins.
Although I do appreciate that the one article I'm reading indicates that you'll know Bitcoin is successful when strippers start accepting it. I mean, for a market that wants to avoid government surveillance of their income flow, that's like the number one market, right? So I can imagine drug dealers first, strippers second, now we know we've made it. Wait, that sounds like a Biggie Smalls song.
You need more talks of steaks and jelly.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. There are a couple food trucks here in Austin that accept Bitcoin.
Now it's a Biggie Smalls song.
So, from Bitcoin to something much more antiquated that I am much more comfortable with, Amtrak. Amtrak is trying to reboot its image because everyone hates it. And so Amtrak has decided to offer writers a sort of on-train residences so that they can write. So basically what happened is that after New York City-based writer Jessica Gross tweeted at Amtrak that she would like to just ride their train to write, they invited her to do exactly that. And they're paying for her ticket, and they're paying for other writers' tickets, as long as they tweet about Amtrak or give an interview about their experience writing. So,
okay, I have two things about this.
Finished my first novel, Amtrak Delay. I mean, what?
So two things about this. The first thing is, why would anyone think being on an Amtrak train is a good creative environment? I had to take it up from the OC to, like, the Malibu area for a little bit, and the number one thing I felt after getting off the train was dirty. The air is not good, it's not clean, they don't take care of it, and the other people on it look like they're probably already on it for free. So I don't understand why anyone would do that. And two, do you just have to say you're a writer and then you get a free trip to where you want to go?
Yeah, every hipster in Williamsburg, Brooklyn is going to be riding the Amtrak for free just because they're a writer.
Yeah, can I get up to San Francisco now for free?
I don't think the Amtrak actually goes all the way to San Francisco. That's the problem.
The hipsters will be taking it to and from their various haberdashers in order to ride for free. So I think part of the appeal of this is that there's, in some places, a little bit of a scenic quality to taking the train. I used to ride the Amtrak from D.C. to New York when I was working in D.C., and it can be beautiful if you like nature. I don't. But if you do like nature, it can be beautiful.
Dan enjoyed the part where they went through East Trenton.
Yeah, I enjoyed the part where we were in the tunnel. That was, I didn't have to look at anything.
Yeah.
That was my favorite part.
I mean, I guess it gets you away from the internet because their Wi-Fi never works.
Yes. Well, that was the second part of it, is that many of them don't even offer Wi-Fi. And so you're sort of stuck just working on whatever it is you're working on.
Yeah. I mean, I can
and
sort
eating
of see that.
Overpriced, terrible cheeseburgers.
Well, that's true. Their burgers are like $10. Like, you go down for a drink, it's like $3. It's like a convenience store on steroids. And, I don't know. It's just, to me, it's like being on an airplane. Yeah, it's awesome to look out and see the clouds, but aren't you just concentrating the entire time on an airplane being like, I hope I don't get sick. I hope I don't get sick. So you're not looking around outside and enjoying the scenery.
Yeah, and if you're doing a lot of writing, you won't be doing much looking at the scenery either. But apparently people are really excited about this. The Wire.com, which is where this story broke, all of their writers are dying to sign up for this. And I say let them.
Do they actually have writers, or do they have people on the staff who are called writers who just, like, fetch coffee and stuff and, like, fix the printer? Because that's what it sounds like to me. It sounds like these people don't actually write.
But their entire team weighed in, and we have such great commentary from writers Philip B., such as, trains are great. LR.
Does it really say
Wire
that?
Consensus, trains rule. Yes, this is really what the article says.
I mean, Amtrak doesn't make any money as it is, and now they're just going to give away train rides?
The trains are so empty anyway that letting a few extra passengers on in exchange for positive PR might not be the worst possible marketing scheme. I mean, they are like an airline. They've got these fixed number of seats. If you don't fill them, you're not making any money. You're not losing any money either by filling them. So
basically they've just implemented...
They literally are just paying for, like, the worst possible PR ever.
Right, so they just implemented the standby program that airlines already have.
Yeah, except instead of privileging airline employees and their families, they privilege people willing to write.
Well, at least writers are finally privileged for something in this country.
Well, one person who will not be taking a train ride in the near future, or at least shouldn't, according to novelist Lynn Shepard, is J.K. Rowling.
But I haven't even got to make my Sheldon Cooper joke yet.
What?
Sheldon Cooper trains. Come on.
No.
Just keep going.
Big Bang Theory? No. So, what I did there was a segue, which you abruptly destroyed, but thank you for that.
It was an Amtrak quality wreck.
I just britted that transition.
Well done. Anyway, there was a controversial Huffington Post article recently by British crime novelist Lynn Shepard. You haven't heard of her because she's terrible, where she suggested that J.K. Rowling should stop writing because, quote, she's had her turn. And she suggested that other writers need room to breathe. The entire crux of this article was that J.K. Rowling is too successful. And if she cares about the profession of writing, she should stop being successful so that other less successful, worse writers can make their way into the market.
I think LeBron James should retire because he's had his turn.
Exactly. Tom Brady as well has won far too much.
I think that Tom Cruise should retire because he's had his turn and he's a crazy Scientologist.
Michael Phelps needs to quit swimming and eat Subway for the rest of his life.
Ugh. He hasn't. I thought he already did that.
Yeah, but it just strikes me. I mean, it somewhat familiar line of something about... you're upset because your books don't sell like soap, but exactly why are you upset that your books don't sell like soap? I mean, I looked at the article. I mean, I think this is such a non-story. Some idiot novelist thinks that she's going to drive up her book sales by insulting a popular novelist.
Right.
I think so it's like a rat feud.
No, not even. It's more like if I can get something into the Huff Post where my name will actually appear. Then I can at least con 10,000 idiots into buying my book because they're curious whether I'm any good.
Wait. So if you get published in the Huff Post, they sell 10,000 copies of your novel?
If you get linked and retweeted as many times as this woman has, I mean, it went completely viral because she insulted J.K. Rowling. So, I mean, it's like if I wanted to promote a really bad boy band, I would try to find the most prominent place that I could insult One Direction, and then all of their fans would put it on their websites and complain about it, and then I would at least get the... It's like junk mail. It's like spam. If you get 1% of a billion hits, you've sold a lot. So you insult somebody in the biggest forum you can, hoping to get some backlash.
This is a sort of very successful link bait.
Yeah,
which has become the rage.
Huff Post? I was going to say the internet, though. And, I mean, that's what the entire internet is link bait.
Right, but places like Huffington Post and BuzzFeed and Viral Up and places like that are now just sort of publishing these things.
Wait, why are segue? Because you mentioned Briefway. Briefway, wow. BuzzFeed. Am I the only one who, whenever I take one of those BuzzFeed character quizzes, I never get the character I think I'm like on the show? I always get someone random.
I think
you always get Jack on Lost.
Because I think the algorithm behind those is absolutely random. I mean, the best example of that was the one where they put the quiz about you could see whether you have a big penis, and every permutation of answers said you have a big penis. It's like, wow, that's complete link bait.
Well, it's not random, though.
Do you know how many people probably put that on their Facebook and were like, oh, look at the answer I got. BuzzFeed says I have a big penis.
Only the people with small penises.
Well, I mean, the fact remains. Or what state should you really live in?
Yeah.
Or, I mean, these are all so stupid. I mean, what they really ought to do is, did you guys see the New York Times bit about what regional American accent you have?
Yes.
That was actually really cool, where people would answer and you could find out these weird expressions that people in other parts of the country had, where everyone found out that very small pockets of the country have a special name for the day before Halloween. Hmm. But the BuzzFeed ones, they're entirely narcissistic attempts to get people to... I mean, let me ask you this. If you did always get the character that you thought you were supposed to be, you'd like them a lot more, wouldn't you?
Yes, because then I would think they were accurate. I got Angela on Boy Meets World.
Ew.
Exactly. Ew. It could have been anyone. It could have been the little sister, but no, Angela? The one who sort of looks like a Kazon from Voyager?
My biggest rule is that any website that has pagination is per se link bait. Sorry, Cracked, I like some of what you write, but it's horrible that you divide. It is the most unnecessary, stupid thing ever.
Speaking of Cracked, I hate Cracked.
What?
Because they do this stupid series of video with these four people who can't act, and they point out supposedly revealing things about pop culture, and they're not.
Wait, are these the ones that have the whole Joss Whedon universe thing?
No, they did the Pixar universe thing.
Oh, Pixar universe.
Yeah, that was the whole thing about how Pixar is actually about, like, the animal-robot apocalypse or something.
Right.
It's right. I think a thousand years ago, that would have been a religion. Like the way they did that.
Yeah.
It's just supreme, supreme rationalism in such a well-structured way that people go, oh, wow, that's really deep, man.
Yeah.
Right, and that's why I can't like Cracked, because that's what I find most of their material is.
I think some of it's funny, but yeah, the rationalistic stuff is annoying.
Yeah.
So going to a slightly more depressing story, which I'm sure we will find a way to laugh at, we're going to break some news here that actually will not be breaking news when people are listening to this, but just remember that we broke it, is that more than 10 knife-wielding attackers slashed people at a train station in southwestern China late Saturday in what authorities are calling a terrorist attack. The police fatally shot 5 of the assailants, but 28 people in total are dead and 113 injured.
These are the worst ninjas ever.
Well, they got caught.
How do you have 10 people wielding knives in a crowd of 100 people and you only kill 28 of them?
Yeah, their ninja card needs to be revoked.
Ninja, so they, please. That,
113 God. Wounded, though. What, I mean, that must be from the trampling.
Probably.
I can't imagine that anybody... 10, that would be like they'd have to stab 10 people per person.
If they're ninjas, they would stab 20 per person.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, state media... I'm going to read this to you a little bit in length. It won't be too long, but this... I just want people out there to think... Or at least I hope they think what I'm thinking, which is... I know nothing about this region of the world. So state media outlets did not immediately cite a motive for the attack or say which group might be behind it, but they typically use the phrase terrorist for attacks blamed on separatists from the far western region of, unpronounceable word, home to a simmering rebellion against Chinese rule among parts of the Muslim Uyghur population.
Mm.
You just said gibberish to me. I just want to know, is this near all the factories that make the American goods that are propping up our economy?
Is this near the iPhone factory? No. Okay. We're fine. So most attacks blamed on the Uyghur separatists. That's a terrible name.
Wait, is it because they're angry about playing Wii?
I don't know. But Reuters knows that most of these words are unpronounceable, so they actually put a pronunciation guide in the paragraph.
There you go.
For you, for most of them. So most of these attacks take place in the unpronounceable named province, but this one took place 620 miles to the southeast, which has never had a history of this. So,
is this anywhere near Yao Ming's hometown?
I think he's okay.
Is he? I don't know. Is he still in Houston? I don't even know.
What about
Jeremy Lin? No, I'm just being racist.
Yeah, it's racist.
Gotcha.
So I just want to... Does anyone know anything about what's going on in this part of the world? There are so many words here that I just have no idea what they mean, what's going on. I saw the word Muslim. That didn't, you know... I got that.
Well, the Chinese aren't nice people when it comes to their outlying provinces, for sure. So, since our newsreader will not read the name, I'm actually trying to look up what part of China this happened in.
So
we do lots of prep work here in the Mid-Side, ladies.
Is it the vowels?
Well, the far western region that I couldn't pronounce is something like Xinjiang, but that sounds racist, so I didn't want to say that. It's XINJIANG.
Oh, Xinjiang. Sure.
There you go. That, which also sounds racist.
By the way, just uses Babelfish in his ear. I know, yeah. I'm mixing up franchises, but.
Uyghur. So Xinjiang. Yeah. It's the farthest out from Beijing, and it's probably one that's only part of China, going all the way back to the Mongolian Empire or something. Because if there are Muslims all the way out there, and you have to understand that Beijing imposes universal time on all of China, so their clock says 3 a.m. when the sun rises because they have to be on Beijing time. That's enough to make anyone upset. They're Chinese. They're probably not letting them practice their religion, whether it's peaceful or not, knife wielding or otherwise. The Chinese repress Falun Gong. I mean, you can imagine what they're going to do to Muslims.
Right.
Are you sure they're just not upset because Rikki Tikki Tembo fell in the well?
So there is this story.
Well, that's the way to cultivate your listenership.
Wow. So there's really nothing to laugh about at this story.
No.
Except what I'm about to read you, which is that more than 60 victims of Saturday's attack were taken to Kunming No. 1 People's Hospital.
Oh, I thought you were going to read the quote of the woman who said, "Why are the terrorists so cruel?"
I just like this is called Kunming No. 1 People's Hospital, which sounds like something you would order.
You don't want to go to No. 2. The quality of care is not as good.
I mean, it sounds like something like that I would say as a joke to be racist.
Right. Exactly. Speaking of, this is a terrible segue, which is things that sound racist. I think I shared this with you, Justin. It's not officially in the news for us this week, but President Obama is starting a program to help young, underprivileged African American men.
Oh, it's called Brothers something?
And the name of it is My Brother's Keeper.
Yeah, which is offensive on two levels.
That sounds kind of racist.
Well,
it's a weird biblical reference.
Right.
I mean, because isn't it the reference when God asks Cain where Abel is?
Right, I'm not my brother's keeper.
So, you know, invoking the first biblical murder?
Yeah.
Probably not the best PR.
Invoking murder around black people?
Yeah, speaking about black people with a title by calling everyone a brother?
Yeah.
But I find it somewhat offensive as well. My brother's keeper. Isn't that a taint of slavery there?
Oh, I didn't even think of the slavery reference. So yeah, you could even argue for, because with the whole thing about you should be responsible for your brother anyway. Just, you know, why not just be responsible for your own reading?
Whatever happened to all those great words like uplift and team hope, things like that?
Nope, my brother's keeper. So that's the news this week, ending on a depressing / racist note, per usual.
And on another depressing note, for this week's weekly discussion, we're going to be talking about the signs of the impending demise of the NFL. For those of you who caught the reference that Dan missed in the opening when he said the metal bat, I was making a double reference to country singer Carrie Underwood and Miami Dolphins lineman, although I still don't know how he's on the Miami Dolphins at this point, Richie Incognito. It broke earlier this week, and then it broke today, so we're breaking another story here in the Midside, even though we're not breaking it at all, that his 300K car, I don't know what kind of a car it was.
It was a Ferrari.
Was smashed in with a Louisville Slugger, I believe. It actually was a Louisville Slugger. And that part of the bat was in the grill. And then it came out that he was the one who did it, and cops in
Arizona,
because, you know, Arizona needed to be in the news again. but we just need to move the Midside to Arizona. They committed him to a psych ward. And then there are two other news stories about the NFL this week that Dan can brief you on very quickly, which is what brief means.
I brief you very slowly. I am number one news person. So one of the stories is that there is a lobbyist named Jack Berkman who is proposing a bill called a bill, I'm sorry, the bill is called the American Decency Act of 2014, and he proposes to ban openly gay players from the NFL. So this might as well be called the Michael Sam Exclusion Act, since he would be the only gay NFL player, which just seems terribly, terribly racist. But, and then the second act, or I'm sorry, the second story is that the NFL's players union is talking to the NFL about banning both the N-word in the NFL and the F-word, but not the F-word you're thinking of, the F-word like the derogatory towards homosexual people who won't be able to play in the NFL.
Oh, I thought they were banning football.
Oh, no, not that F-word. Not only would they be banning it, you would receive 15-yard penalties for saying either one.
Did you do get fined?
You would be fined as well.
Right, so I'm convinced that every fine in the NFL just goes to Roger Goodell. I think that's why he fines people so much for so little things.
Yeah.
That's the point I'm getting at here. This is something, you know, I've noticed for a while, and I've sort of been joking around with people, is the media and the government have put in their sights the NFL, and they've started to try and attack it. South Park did this. They talked about it when they did the episode about Sarcastaball. I don't know if you saw that, Dan.
I think so.
Yeah, where the whole thing was they had to make the game safer, so, you know, Randy Marsh made fun of them by accepting their rules sarcastically, and then they started actually implementing his ridiculous rules, like using a balloon instead of a football. This has been happening actually ever since Spygate, which people don't realize is back then, Arlen Specter from Pennsylvania tried to use the Congress to investigate the Patriots.
Oh, now we see the sore spot.
No. This isn't just about the Patriots. The point is, this is a private organization that can run itself any way it wants, and people are trying to say what type of players they can have in it, what the rules should be, and they're just starting to regulate it to the point that there are no rules anymore. And it doesn't mean anything, to the point that it's almost becoming arbitrary who wins and who loses.
Interesting. I definitely see the targeting of it, and I see a little bit of the, I would say, cultural egalitarianism starting to influence the NFL, especially with things like, so I understand fining players, for instance, if there's a certain way you want your players to behave. But when someone says the N-word or various F-words or G-words or P-words, I don't care. Why is that influencing the outcome of the game? That's really my question. Why is that a 15-yard penalty? Or here's more sore spots. The Patriots from last season being penalized, for instance, for pushing their own player as unsportsmanlike conduct.
The argument for that was that it was dangerous. And I mean, I don't know enough about it to know what it's like to be in the trenches there. But the point is that they're making these things stories when they're not. And this goes back to the whole Richie Incognito thing and how that's relevant. So you get these people, and we sort of talked about this with the Michael Sam case, right, where we said the issue is these people all don't have 140 IQs and they're all not like PhDs. We get people who go to college not to get educated. They go to college to play football. And then you put them in the league and you fine them for making unintelligent hits. You fine them for talking in an unintelligent way. And you think that that's consistent with the way you're running your league. It doesn't make any sense.
The guy can't even properly smash up his own car. Both headlights are intact, and there's, like, hail damage on the hood. I mean, I just looked at the picture of this Ferrari. This guy can't even smash it. He's a big guy.
Well, you realize he plays for the Dolphins, right?
But still, I'm looking at a picture of this Ferrari. I would buy that. It is not that damaged. I mean, really, could he not hit it any harder? The headlights are intact. Mm-hmm. I think it did more damage to the bat than the car. Honestly, I think Dan's vote for a metal bat needs to win out in this one.
Thank you.
That is just barely even dented.
It does look like it broke, the bat broke, and then he got frustrated and jammed it in the grill, the bat in the grill.
The grill is intact. I mean, I've seen parking lot fender benders worse than that.
Yeah, but that's the point is, and this is part of the targeting is, you know, is it really that much of a story that Richie Incognito did that to his car? But then TMZ is all over it now because ESPN made it national news by driving home this whole thing that Richie Incognito bullied Jonathan Martin over the season. And it's this effort to portray these people in this way that they're not.
Wait, what do you mean? Trying to portray people like what?
I'm not defending Incognito. I'm not defending Jonathan Martin. I agree with your question. And what I'm referring to is there is a locker room culture in the NFL that most people can't understand. And when you take what goes on in that culture and you take it out of its context and try to make people understand it in their context, there's a disconnect there which creates a false outrage.
Well, I think, but so let me propose this. If the way to deal with the NFL as a private organization is that the people who are the paying customers, which is largely the fans and the people who buy the merchandise,
mm-hmm.
I suppose that's the, I don't know what the balance books of most NFL teams look like, but if they can't sell merchandise and if they can't fill stadiums, they're not successful.
Pretty much everyone's making money except the Buffalo Bills.
Right.
And the Jaguars.
So in that sense, the consumer is sovereign there. If the team is horrible, i.e. Buffalo. Or Jacksonville, then nobody goes and nobody buys the stuff and they don't make money. And the concessions are down and the marketing is down, et cetera, et cetera. Rather than have the government step in and tell the private league, despite the fact that they get, you know, certain benefits, antitrust exemptions and nonprofit status and everything else, which is a weird, weird thing, but that the people be allowed to make the choice about whether they want to continue patronizing the league. The way that they're going to have to do that, though, is to have an honest portrayal of what the league is actually like. Because there is some, I mean, think about it in the terms of the college sports. There is some dissatisfaction with a lot of fans when they find out that their program is corrupt, let's say. And so they demand probably the head of the coach or the AD or whatever to be fired, because they don't like that kind of program and what it represents.
Wait, I thought when that happened, they just like wanted the statue of Joe Pa to stay up.
Well, that's just absurd. Yeah. No, the Penn State fans are completely blind to what that has gone on there, obviously. Anyone that's a Penn State fan should just be ashamed, and, you know, not support that team unless there were fundamental house clearing. But they're not portraying these guys in a way that's incompatible with what should be happening. It's the problem that it's the law happy politicians that want to get in on it, probably because the politicians realize that fans are voters too. I mean, so if they do what the fans want and in a way that the fans are too lazy to do by stopping buying the merchandise and going to the games, but that's what ought to happen. If the fans don't like the fact that they're hiring a bunch of thugs, stop going to the games. NBA, you know, I mean, that's the solution, right?
Yeah, no, I agree with you that there should be an honest portrayal. My problem is I don't think there is an honest portrayal. If you look at the way Richie Incognito was taken to task by the media, and then it came out that Jonathan Martin was sending offensive text messages back, and there was a whole conversation there.
I think they're just picking on the mentally disturbed guy.
Who, Richie Incognito?
This is, Dan, what's the word for when we pick on the mentally disturbed people? It's not racism, but...
I was going to say racism.
But no, that's the point, is rather than portray it honestly and say, this is what happened, they just do sensationalism. You know, it's ESPN is link bait, basically, right?
Well, yeah, but that's right. The media.
Right.
I mean, they want to sell stories.
Right, they want to sell stories, but they also want to put through their agenda, and their agenda during this season was bullying. That's been the big topic for a long time, and they're trying to say that the NFL is an example of this bullying culture because, you know, it's masculine and it's violent and it's, you know, there are winners and there are losers, and as Dan said, it's not egalitarian.
Yeah.
I mean, they've tried to make it egalitarian with the salary cap, but you still have Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, Drew Brees, Aaron Rodgers, and now you have Colin Kaepernick and Russell Wilson winning in the NFC. That despite the salary cap, they're doing that. So they're trying to, as Dan said, make it more egalitarian in other ways and push through their broader cultural agenda by the way they portray things.
Right. I like how people it seems, just recently found out that the NFL is violent, for instance. It seems like it came as a surprise to everyone that there are head injuries. I mean, that's not to say that I don't want them to be reduced. I do. I think technology will help with that. But the sort of moral righteousness that I hear, especially out of the media about this, is sickening. It's just awful. Of course it's violent. There are people running at each other and hitting you with a helmet. That's going to hurt to some degree.
Well, right, and that's my thing about, like, these rules that you can only hit people in certain areas, and now basically you're going to have everyone's knees be taken out. Like, you should train people, and, you know, as said, I'm going to cut that other part out. As the doctor said, if you don't want the thug culture, don't have thugs in the game. And what I mean by that is, if you have a culture where you're not training these people to be intelligent, they're not going to play the game in a way that has any class. They're going to play it like the Baltimore Ravens. And what I mean by that is, when you play a game, you recognize that the rules are in place because the rules define what is worth winning and what is worth losing. If you're just trying to get any advantage you can by cutting corners and breaking rules and hoping the refs don't see, you're not actually trying to win football. And that's what happens when you get people who aren't educated and who are thugs in there, because they think winning in itself is a value, and it's not. You're winning something. You're proving you're better at something.
But that crosses the grain of what a lot of the fan culture is, because the way to actually, as the league, if you were the commissioner, the way to actually implement the changes that would help the organizations root out that kind of behavior are things that you would have to implement that would alienate a huge portion, I would imagine, of the fan base, which is that the league would have to impose, that the league would be able to impose things like retroactive video punishments, right? So that, I mean, which people would flip out about. If the refs don't see it, how can you punish it? Well, if you wanted to have the league, that's the only way to do it. The only way to do it is to say that the league as an organization can go back, and if there's something that's caught on video, which inevitably the really controversial stuff always is, and the referees don't see it, but you can see from the video that it's pretty substantial that a guy made a dirty hit or whatever, the league should be able to punish those people. But then if they do, that's when you get this counter-narrative of the big, bad white board coming down on the black players for being thugs, right? I mean, so they have the problem that on the one hand, they try to insulate themselves from the portrayal, and they're afraid to actually implement what might be in their interest because they're afraid of how they're going to be portrayed when they try to, quote, clean up. The fan base is going to go crazy.
Well, right, and that's certainly a large problem of it as well, is the way the general NFL fan is. You know, you
I have
see
a racial counterpoint. But finish, Justin.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I mean, you see it, as you said before, with the NBA, and who are the people who watch it now. Most NBA fans you can't even have a conversation with because they're completely irrational at this point.
Are there NBA fans?
Yeah, there are some.
somebody must go to those games.
And likewise, the fans in the NFL are getting to that point where there's no rationality. Nobody can admit, like, oh, you know, my team lost, my team won. It's all, every time somebody wins, they didn't win fair, and every time somebody loses, they didn't win fair, and if your team loses, you bring up things from 20 years ago as if it's somehow relevant. Nobody watches the game anymore. It's as you said, there's always an excuse. And if, you're exactly right, if a team lost because of a dirty play, like say, a bear hug in the end zone on your star tight end, stop him from catching a ball, and the league fined the player for that, everyone would say, oh, well that proves they should, you know, they shouldn't have won the game, and they should reverse the ruling and everything.
But that is the question. What is the league designed to do? Is the league designed to figure out who is the most successful team on the days when they play the games? Because obviously you can't have some debate about a platonic best team that if certain things hadn't happened. But if the goal is to figure out who's the better team each day that the game is played, then you have to let those things organically go. But if you want the league to be different, you have to be able to root them out in the aftermath. And I just don't think that that's going to work because the fan base, I mean, I don't know, maybe the NFL fan base is more accepting of that, but I would think that if they were, they would have been alienated by the game already.
Right, and you're exactly right. So ultimately, the NFL's goal isn't to see who the best team is, it's just to sell jerseys.
And there's nothing wrong with that. The problem is that they're get, as Dan might say, you got to get with the rhetoric. Say what you're doing. Be honest about it.
Yeah, I would.
Yeah, you would. Dan, though, you had a
yeah. What's your racial counterpoint?
I had a racial counterpoint to play a devil's advocate here. Banning the N-word is racist.
Hmm. What?
Who is going to be saying derogatory racial slurs on the field? Is it white players? Are white players out there using... I mean, I think at this point we've seen anytime a white player uses these words, they're basically crucified in the media. So these penalties, if they are enforced, are going to be primarily toward black players.
They need a brother's keeper.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So from what I'm gathering from this whole conversation, just to sum up...
The F word is going
to
be primarily said by the closeted gay players too?
No, the F word is going to be primarily said by the Minnesota Vikings.
Zing. What I'm gathering from all this is that you are all in support of Mr. Berkman's bill to ban the gays from an NFL. That would solve it all. There is an exemption, by the way, in the section 2 of his bill. You can be exempted, so you can hire the gays, as long as you provide separate but equal facilities for homosexual and heterosexual players.
And by facilities, do they get their own stadium or just locker room? Do they have to touch their own balls? Oh, wait, I didn't even say that, did I? I mean, they get their own... Yeah.
It just confuses me, because we touched on this with the Michael Sam stuff. No pun intended. Isn't that up to the individual team to decide how they're going to handle that or not?
Right. No, the bill is funny because...
Doctor!
You said it. Doctor.
You guys are just awesome.
You're the only one we have this problem with. What you said is actually very funny, Doctor, which is that this bill does not distinguish what kind of facilities are required to be separate and equal. It just says the NFL must provide completely separate facilities for homosexual and heterosexual players. So there could be a league, the NFL.
They're going to ban the N-word in the NFL. It's the NFL.
Which is one player.
Don't they dress up in pink for a month? Oh, zing.
Now, that's racist. So,
no, it's anti-breastist.
It's true. By the way, I looked up discrimination against people like Richie Incognito, and it's mentalism.
Oh, mentalism. I was wondering if it was mental abilism.
Wait, I thought that was what Jonathan Edwards did, mentalism.
Thank you. Separate but equal facilities? No, first of all, I've been saying that phrase, and no one has pointed out the deep, deep irony in a league of primarily African-American players.
No, I thought it. That was one I wasn't going to touch.
Oh, you what?
Yeah, I know. All right, well, that about sums up why the NFL is on the decline, because, as I mentioned earlier, they're getting rid of the N and the F in the NFL, which means pretty soon it will not be a league. It'll probably just be chaos. So let's move on to Drew's favorite segment, Yahoo Answers Answers. Just another answer, I won't be getting. Just another question. Just another answer, I won't be. First question. What's a good title for my paper about fetal alcohol syndrome? But there's a note here. I want it to be funny. Go! That's actually, I didn't make up the go. The go is actually part of that. So it's like they wrote this for us.
A horrible human being. He must be perfect demographic for us.
Two questions. Does that mean the paper's supposed to be funny, or the title, or both?
I think they want the title to be funny.
And second, what is with people going on the internet to ask for help with their academic papers?
What's the deal?
Actually, yeah. A lot of Yahoo Answers is just like high school kids asking you to do their assignments for them. They'll put up like their word problem, or they'll be like, what are the major themes of Call of the Wild?
Well, that's why coming up with the most absurd answers possible would actually be really funny. Where did I see that? There was something about, well, I think it was a Yahoo Answers one, where there were a bunch of answers that were saying fake things, and then someone said the real thing. Or no, there were a bunch of people who said the real thing, and then someone said a fake thing, and the person who asked the question actually upvoted the fake thing and said, thanks for someone finally telling me the honest answer. And the question was, what is a courtesy flush? And the fake answer was, that means that your boyfriend wants you not to flush the toilet until he comes into the bathroom so that he can see what you've done.
So a good name for the paper.
In other words, trolling Yahoo Answers when you know it's a high school kid asking about a paper might be a diversion, a worthwhile one.
So one title case, for the paper might be a courtesy flush?
A courtesy
flush. I think you should just Google, I'm assuming it's a he. I don't think a woman would. Anyway, I think you should just Google drunk baby meme. If anyone is unfamiliar, it looks like it's basically a little baby with his eyes sort of mostly closed and he's sort of like pointing off screen and there's a big beer next to him. And so it has captions such as, hey you, yeah you, I sucked on your wife's tits last night. Or, that's not even fair, officer. I can't even say the alphabet sober.
I like the one that says, okay. So listen. I cried, and the next thing I know, I have a titty in my mouth.
I'm just saying, that bitch Dora, I'd explore it.
That's good.
Yeah.
So there you go, that's the name of the paper, That Bitch Dora, I'd Explore It.
So I think the one that works for me from these memes that would be the best for his paper would be, this little piggy's going to the bar.
That's pretty good.
I like that one.
It's interesting though that you pictured it as a teenage boy. For some reason I pictured it as a really cruel teenage girl.
Interesting.
I don't know why.
Or an academic who's about to make a terrible mistake.
The doctor just showed me a meme of Captain Picard holding his hand out saying, how the fuck are there two drunk baby memes?
There are apparently now two, actually there's many ones, but there are two different drunk baby memes now.
Well, to Captain Picard, I answer your question with, there are three Hangover movies.
Make it so.
Sure, officer, I'll touch the tip of my nose as soon as my uncle gives it back to me.
I like that one.
A good title for it, it would be if the author wrote, My Life in the Womb.
There you go.
This is too much my life. I just ran across the meme of Willy Wonka. Oh, you have an ugly baby? I'd love to see pictures of it every time I open Facebook.
Yes. Are you saying all of your friends?
Pretty much true of every baby.
True. All babies look like Winston Churchill.
If they're not.
Who said that? Someone said that.
Sounds like an Eddie Izzard joke.
Maybe.
So, hint, Yahoo Answers, dude. Find another topic. That's just not funny.
Yeah, that, I mean, that's the ultimate question, is why would you want a funny paper about fetal alcohol syndrome? Maybe he was trying to get fodder for his podcast.
Oh.
Maybe. Oh.
Next question. Which pizza do you like most? Domino's, Pizza Hut, or any other?
Is there any explanatory text with this?
No, that actually there wasn't at all.
This is Pizza Hut's new market research. They can't afford to hire a firm. They just go to Yahoo Answers.
Domino's changed their formula again. What are we going to do? Yahoo Answers research.
I mean, my answer to that is just something else.
Well, what is the something else?
Mitza. It's a brilliant thing.
Oh,
pizza with a meat crust.
I'm intrigued, but also the Italian in me is kind of offended.
I've seen paleo people eat these, and I have gone low carb since the beginning of the year, but I don't think I could bring myself to eat a mitza.
Yeah. If you had it made right, mitza is one of the most awesome things ever.
Where can you get one of these mythical mitzas?
You make them yourself. It's homemade.
Pizza is the one food you do not make yourself ever.
Well, this isn't pizza. This is mitza. There you go. So, you make the crust by taking the ground beef, and you put the Italian spices in it, and then you roll it out into a thin circular shape, and then you put it into the oven and you bake it so that it gets cooked and a little bit crisp. Then you put your pizza toppings on, your tomato sauce, your mozzarella cheese, your bacon, your pineapples, whatever you want, and then you cook it again, and then the meat part of the pizza gets nice and crisp so that you can literally pick it up like a slice of pizza, but it's all meat.
Mm. Well, I like how you were demonstrating to our listeners how you pound the meat down on the table.
Was that very effective. Captured on the mic? So they know exactly how to pound the pizza because of those little bumps on the mic, yeah.
Good lantern hanging, Dan.
Thank you. So I think the answer for me is any other. I'm going to eat pizza again, it will be not homemade. It'll be pizza from Uno, but not the chain terrible Uno that is closer to Domino's and Pizza Hut, but the original Uno in downtown Chicago.
Do you have to use a skip or reverse to get there?
Hilarious.
No, you just drew four, buddy. No, why not Gino's East?
You're such a wild card.
Gino's East, classic Chicago deep dish.
I mean, that's good. I enjoy that.
It's a valid choice.
It is, absolutely.
Uno, but I know what you're talking about, though. Uno would be good. Yeah.
Of those, my favorite is Uno.
Yeah. Except it's deep dish pizza. We need thin crust here. But no, this is a problem I have. Obviously, I'm going
to
pick.
Cole is telling us about how to eat pizza.
I'm Italian as well, just because my last name is Polish. That's racist.
Oh.
I look more Italian.
This is true.
Wait, but, isn't that racist? Anyway, go ahead.
Shut up. Go into your separate but equal locker room.
Wait a minute. I'm Mexican, not gay.
And only half, sir.
Exactly. I will eat half your pizza.
No, so I will go with any other as well, obviously, although I would probably take Domino's over Pizza Hut. I still miss the pizza from where I grew up. There was one in the center of town, and like I literally think about, I should go visit there sometimes, even though my parents don't live there, just so I can have that pizza. Like
point of clarity,
so out of business.
One pizza or one pizza joint? You said there was one in the center of town.
There's one pizza.
How small a town was it?
It's a magic pizza. You just go take a bite and it regrows. And you have to fight off all the dogs to get there, all the feral dogs.
The pizza of plenty.
Yeah, the pizza of plenty. It's in the center of the Hunger Games in Shrewsbury, Massachusetts. Mm. The Hunger Games arena there. No, it's one pizza place, and I would eat there. That's, to me, the best pizza. But I have to say, there are a lot of things I love about California. I love that they love cheeseburgers here. There's so many burger joints. And I do like cheeseburgers more than pizza. I love the weather here. But they cannot do pizza here. They do not know what pizza is.
This sounds like Marshall and his burger of New York. You have this imagination for what this pizza was like because it was part of your youth. And if you went back now, you would be forced to admit, or no, you probably would claim that it was still the greatest ever, even though it might not be, because you have that memory.
Okay, so maybe not that pizza joint, but East Coast pizza is by far better than California pizza.
Californians
don't actually know what pizza is.
Right, they put kale and goat cheese and artichoke heart.
Right.
Yeah.
When I went to New York City last year and visited, I just had pizza for like 4 days.
Yeah.
Because I was like, oh, God, pizza. And it was all...
You can just go to the most random place and get a slice.
Right, and there's so many different styles, too, which is the great thing when you go through New York City is like you said, there's one on every block, and it's you can just walk in and just so many different kinds.
I wonder if there are more places to get a slice of pizza in New York than Starbucks.
Next question. Who found Charles unless in Charles in Charge? And I'm pretty sure they mean useless here. I'm going to read the whole thing. In the show Charles in Charge, what was he in charge of really? I mean, the kids were basically old enough to watch themselves. Also, there was someone always home with them, like the grandpa or mom. Why was he there? What was his purpose? But then again, he was the only reason why I watched the show, LOL, period. And it's per ropes, right? Is that what you're going to say?
What was his per ropes?
What was his per ropes? That's how it's spelled.
I'm just surprised that there's anyone that's actually still watching. Is it on Nick at Night or something? How do people today actually encounter?
Is it on Hulu? It must be on Hulu.
I think the first time I heard of Charles in Charge was the Community episode about Charles in Charge.
Really?
Yes.
You didn't know on Scrubs when Ted's group would sing the Charles in Charge theme song?
I didn't watch Scrubs. No, thank you.
I mean, you know.
I like my shows either comedy or drama. Don't mix them.
But the purpose or the, what is the misspelling?
The per-ropes.
The per-ropes is obviously that if you don't have a title character, the show doesn't make any sense. So if they had taken away Charles and just let the kids do what they wanted, why would he have the title role? And who else would Willie Ames have to relate to?
The per-ropes is, this was a response to Who's the Boss, wasn't it?
No, this show was on way before Who's
the Boss.
It
was way before Who's the Boss?
Yeah.
Oh.
This was I'm Chachi, and Joni Loves Chachi as a spinoff of Happy Days just didn't work, so I need a new vehicle for my career.
And then Who's the Boss was a response to Charles in Charge?
I think Who's the Boss was just a brainchild of someone who thought Tony Danza was entertaining.
But no, I mean, both have a similar sort of thematic thrust to them, don't they? And isn't that, it's sort of during the 80s at the time when it's like, men don't run the household anymore. What if women ran the household? So let's put this goofy Italian male in there and make it so he's not in charge anymore. I mean, isn't that what Charles in Charge is about? It's an ironic name. Just like Who's the Boss is ironic.
Is that your culturally leftist voice?
Whoa.
Yeah.
Interestingly, they did. I mean, the interesting part is that they had simultaneous airings. They both began airing in 1984. Who's the Boss lasted two seasons longer.
Right, so they both started in 1984.
Yes.
Charles in Charge still had 126 episodes.
Right. So
did they talk about?
Nicole Eggert. Alyssa Milano. There's only two reasons either of those shows ever survived. They launched two pubescent boy fantasies before the age of superfluous porn on the internet.
Yeah,
I mean, that's basically what it was.
I'm glad you went that way with the end of that sentence, because I thought you were going to say careers, and then I was going to say, what has Melissa Milano done besides Charmed?
And what has Nicole Eggert done besides Baywatch?
Right. But that makes the point even stronger. So one of them probably went into development and the studio heard about it, and then the other one went into development. So it was probably likely that Charles in Charge went into development first, and then they did Who's the Boss in development as a response to that. And they're both sitcoms about, you know, what's the man's role in the house now, and isn't it funny if he takes on more of a, you know, traditional woman's role, quote-unquote, where he's running the house and taking care of things.
Hmm. Interestingly, I was looking up Scott Baio, and I only know him as Bob Loblaw. But interestingly, there's a section on his Wikipedia page about his personal politics. Because apparently, he's an outspoken conservative and a registered Republican.
Yeah, you didn't know that?
No.
Oh, I guess that I had access to that stolen list when I worked for Atlas Productions. That's right.
You should probably bleep that. Bleep.
Why?
They're desperate enough to sue you. They're making no money otherwise.
They still wouldn't be making money. What are they going to sequester his wages?
It's true. Joss would just send them a bill every month. You are a starving writer.
Shockingly, Who's the Boss won 10 primetime Emmys. Oh, no, was nominated for 10 Primetime Emmys and 5 Golden Globes, won one each.
And it lost every time to Breaking Bad.
I mean, any show that inspired the folks in Quahog to make Float? Justin seems unmoved by that reference.
I haven't cared about Family Guy since.
It was like the first season. They made a Float of when Tony Danza's character catches Judith Light's character in the shower.
And
then they win the trophy, and Brian, and they're going to share it between the houses, and then Brian steals it and buries it.
I remember that, back when Family Guy was funny. Next question. Do you have anything else that God forgot me to give? And I think they meant give to me.
So, never mind.
Good grammar?
I suffer from depression, panic, anxiety, ADHD, bipolar disorder, social anxiety, overweight, which is a description, it's not a thing to suffer from, baldness.
Oh, it's a condition.
Tinnitus. uninteresting wife.
Uninteresting wife? Or
wife, wife. Oh, I don't want your life. Hateful job, jerk boss, car that breaks down often, period. I suffer losses in every investment. I cannot be compassionate no matter how much I try. So many diseases housing inside my body. I am suicidal. I cry myself to sleep. I cry myself to get up from bed. Everything around me that's even remotely related to me always has to go wrong. I wonder if, so-called, in parentheses, God forgot to give me any other miseries. If you have something that I haven't listed, let me know. I can request God, all caps, to throw that at me too.
AIDS.
I mean, I thought...
Cancer.
I thought that, like, single college girls were good fishers for compliments or good fishers for sympathy. But this guy is, like, the king.
I actually think his per ropes is to troll.
What, to troll that widely trollable section of the internet of people who defend why God brings bad things?
Yeah.
Oh.
There seems to be a very heated war on Yahoo Answers between atheists and Christians. Like, the atheists will be like, the Christians will be like, why do all atheists, like, to fuck each other in the ass? Because they're gay.
Of all the arguments to bait weird Christian people on Yahoo Answers, why the one about bad things in the world? They have such stock answers for that.
But, Doctor, this serves multiple purposes. Okay. Not only is he baiting
multiple per-ropes.
Multiple per-ropes. Not only is he baiting the Christians stupid enough to answer, but he's also fishing for compliments, as you were saying. So he's killing two birds with one terrible post.
So it's, your life's not that bad. At least you have a job. Mm-hmm.
But exactly. That's what I don't even understand about this. How do you have a hateful job?
I think the big question is...
What's a hateful job?
I don't know. Sewage inspector?
He puts the animals down at the animal hospital.
Ew.
What's the big question?
No, the big question is, like, who takes the time to come up with bad attempts to troll people like this? Because this is not a serious question.
No, it can't be.
He could have killed himself in this amount of time.
Yeah.
I mean, if he was really putting his mind to it.
I mean, when the list began, I was thinking, I don't know, serotonin, dopamine, other neurotransmitters, that's what God forgot to give you? Because it sounds like your brain is not working right. I mean, I don't know. But it's just, everything is awful and I'm suicidal. Oh, he forgot to give you the ability to go through with it.
Yeah. No, he had me until about uninteresting wife. And then I was like, okay, he's just listing random stuff he thinks is fake. But no, I mean, this is a broader question in general that I have, is why are people so negative that they spend the time doing stuff like this? Like, this person, even if he's just trolling, there is something very negative in his life that he has to create this and troll and try and piss people off.
So wait, we're trying to discuss why do people troll each other? wasn't there just a study, you probably saw this in the news, there was a study that, shocker, most internet trolls were unhappy people.
And it actually said they were sociopaths, didn't it?
Sociopaths.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that basically someone, probably with a very fat grant, went online and studied what the typical demographic profile of an internet troll was. And it turns out that they are shrivelly little people that live under bridges who are very unhappy with their lives. That like to be fed. They have sociopathic tendencies. That's what it is. I think it's just the mere fact that the internet has given them such a volume of vulnerable, gullible people. I mean, these people probably baited people in their real lives before the internet, but, you know, it's easy to avoid contact with such people, but now that the internet exists, And you lose all of that. I mean, when someone's baiting you in person,
it's a lot easier to
pick
up. At
the office or whatever, it's a lot easier to pick up. But with text, you don't pick it up. And so there are all the believers, and the believers, for that matter.
And the believers.
Who fall for that kind of thing. Believers who fall for that kind of thing. That it just gives them, it gives them vent for such a huge audience. That's the sad thing.
Yeah, I mean, I saw that study, and I mean, I agree with you on an anecdotal level, but I think the problem, wasn't that study not, like, scientifically accurate, wasn't it? They're, like, confirmation bias or something?
Well, I mean, like, I didn't actually read the study because it was...
Sounds like something a troll would say.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's the problem, right? Like, if I point out the fact that they asked people to self-identify as trolls in the survey...
And then, is that what it was?
I'm pretty sure. And then how do you know they're not trolling the survey?
Oh, I didn't know it was self-identification.
I'm pretty sure.
Of course they're going to be murderous sociopaths. Trolls are exactly the kind of people who think, oh, a survey, what's the craziest answer that I can throw their results off with?
Well, right, and like, you can never find a troll, right? So if they try to like, be like, okay, go on forums and identify the 10 biggest trolls on the internet and then go interview them, you're never going to find them. By the way, that's my researcher voice.
But then there was that guy, there was that famous case that not that long ago where the big jerk troll on Reddit got outed. By somebody, somebody figured out who this guy was, and like quasi blackmailed him. Did you ever hear about this, Dan?
I remember this vaguely. Yes.
Yeah. So the guy was like a really weird. I mean, in his online persona, whatever his alias was, he edited all these subreddits.
His online alias was probably something like analpuncher6969.
Yeah, or something like that. Yeah, it was really... Was that actually...
No, it was
that's plausible.
Yeah, I just made it up because that's what trolls do.
It was Violent Acres. Yeah. A-C-R-E-Z.
Oh, did you look it up, Dan?
Yeah, and he was outed by Gawker Media.
They figured this out and they still can't figure out the Cards Against Humanity 12 Days of Holiday bullshit puzzle.
Yeah, but so, I mean, so they outed the guy and he had not the most sociopathic life in real life. But it was this weird story of why would this guy just be so angry and whatnot? Because his life wasn't like Yahoo Answers guy where he had all these problems.
Mm-hmm.
He just was a jerk.
So what was his life like?
I mean, he was married. His wife had some health issues, like something like that. I forget what the whole story is, but he was one of the most notorious trolls on Reddit.
Yeah, I mean, this is why I like the show Catfish so much. Because it's the same concept, right? You take these people who they're being catfished by somebody, and you're like, who the fuck would do this?
Yeah.
Like, who would spend this much time? Like, wouldn't you get bored after, like, a day or something?
Well, that was why the one episode, which I accidentally woke up for, when I was here half asleep one afternoon, and I accidentally woke up for, but ended up watching with you, that was the most bizarre one, where it was just the guy that seemed angry.
Yeah.
And he was just trolling someone, and you're like, wait, is he actually gay? Is this the boyfriend? Like, what is this guy doing? And he just turned out to be really angry.
Yeah.
And what was it? Like, he had some weird falling out with his father or something?
Yeah, he was, like, homeless on the street and stuff, and then his new girlfriend was cheated on in the past. And that's why that show's interesting to me, because every person has a story like that is doing the catfishing. Mm. And you're just, like, to always see it revealed and find out about it. And that was the thing about it. It was based on the original movie where the woman catfishing Neve is the host, was actually, she had like, she was married to some guy who has two kids who are really, you know, they have huge mental problems. Like they can't even take care of themselves. Mm. And then like she can't paint on her own. So something like that, she can't because she doesn't have the time or the money. So stories like that, you're like, okay, that makes sense. But then when you hear about this Reddit guy, that he doesn't really have anything wrong in his life, you're like, why are you doing this?
Yeah, I mean, he's just kind of a sadist, I think, because he used to intentionally bait people, I think.
He did a ton of terrible stuff. Yeah. I mean, he was famous for starting the subreddit called Jailbait, where he would post really sexual pictures of underage girls that were on the borderline of being pornography.
Right, right.
So when they outed him, did he go to jail or anything?
No.
No, but, it wasn't illegal.
No, like, the thing was is just that he then became the most hated. I mean, you don't want to get on the wrong side of people who are, like, really smart programmers and whatever. Yeah. Like they'll just ruin your online life.
Well, they'll ruin your life. Yeah. I mean, they'll hack into your Bitcoins.
Well, no, I mean, because, like, they threatened to send stuff to his actual employer and things. Yeah. Yeah, they'll put your Bitcoin on an Amtrak track and watch it get flattened.
No, I've seen that before, where people on the internet will, like, they'll find somebody's IP address and then go take a picture of his house and post it and be like, I know where you live.
Yeah.
Lovely.
But yeah, I mean, so maybe this is one of those guys.
Right.
I have a hateful, a jerk boss, hateful job.
And he's clearly, he might be one of those guys, but he's not very smart because he's doing it on Yahoo Answers Answers. At least that other guy went to Reddit to do it.
I think it's Barack Obama.
God's curse.
He's just trying to get a groundswell of support, starting with Yahoo right. Answers.
Yeah, guy who has 99% of the media in his pocket and has a 40% approval rating. Yeah.
Makes sense. Makes as much sense as everything else we've said. Alright, that about sums up Yahoo Answers Answers, and when I say that about, I mean it does. So let's move on to our final segment, the non-crisis of the week. A couple weeks ago, when we rebooted this podcast, the non-crisis of the week was taking the East Coast to task for something. So I would like to take the West Coast to task for something right now, and this is something the doctor can attest to, because he is currently here in the West Coast. And Dan, you used to live on the West Coast, so you can attest to this. It has been mildly raining for the past day or so.
Oh, it actually was heavy for California standards.
Heavy for how long, though? I remember that it was heavy for about 10 minutes. Okay, now.
Yeah, it was about an hour. I mean, okay. It was such that from the building where I work, I can normally see an overpass for the 5 and the hills in the distance, and I could still see the overpass on the 5, but the rain was so heavy that it was obscuring what was in the distance. And I declared to a coworker who had also grown up on the East Coast where it rains hard for a long time, and I told her, it won't be raining hard here unless I can't see the 5. Which is not, I don't know, I'd say it's a few hundred yards away.
Right. And so, you know, it's not raining that hard. It's kind of like, hey, you know, it's sort of raining right now. This is the kind of rain I would have played soccer through when I was young.
From what I saw on Twitter, it was raining so hard that the big boy on top of Bob's big boy fell over.
Yeah. I saw on the weather report that it was something like the 20 years since this particular formation of moisture and wind and whatever came to the coast of California. So this is a generationally epic storm.
This is a generationally epic storm?
Yeah.
Well, and that's the
point.
Go ahead, Dan.
I used to say when I lived there that it made sense that people in Southern California especially believed in the concept of climate change, because they looked at other places in the country, saw that they had different changes in their weather and said, oh my God, something must be done. Their climate is changing.
Yeah, no.
Because in California, it's always sort of mildly warm, / if you put a jacket on or took a jacket off, you'd still be uncomfortable.
Right, and that's exactly why they do think that. I really truly believe that. I realized that when I moved out here too. I was like, no wonder they think there's a such thing as global warming. It's always the same here. But
right.
It's like you're saying about Twitter too. You know, there are Facebook statuses all over the place saying that, oh my God, look at how bad this storm is. I can't believe it's raining. And I was driving on the road earlier and there were signs that said flooding and the road was completely dry and it was a little bit of a downhill road. So I guess, you know, water could collect there, but is there a need to put up a flooding sign if it's that, the water's gone that quickly? And, you know, people were talking at my job about, you know, oh, you know, it's going to be dangerous on the roads. And I was like, it is.
They don't have proper drainage. They don't account for the fact that water falls from the sky. I mean, traffic engineers will tell you that you can engineer a road so that water sloughs off, like it drains off the sides. They never thought of that here. But, I mean, they don't need to.
I mean, I agree with that, but isn't the greater effect of not having to think about that and worry about that is just that nobody knows how to drive in the rain?
Yeah.
I mean, that's the most dangerous thing. It's not the roads.
Yeah, it's the people. But, I mean, the roads are also, the fact that enough of the fluids from cars drop onto the road and never get washed away, so when it does rain, it slicks up.
Mm-hmm.
It's really amazing in California. I've never noticed it anywhere else where it's this bad, but the roads are so infrequently wet that anything that falls on them stays there, so that when they do get wet, it mixes with the water and they become incredibly slick. And there's also no, I mean, the weathering of the roads here is not nearly as much. I mean, anywhere that develops potholes regularly knows that the texture of the road actually makes it, there's more traction when it's a little bit wet because you can still grip the road. Here it's smooth as a baby's butt all the time because there's no extreme weather in California. They never get sun-baked or snow and freezing and warming and things like that. So the roads actually, ironically, are engineered to be nice and pristine, which is what makes it a problem when it rains.
Hmm. Not a problem, just an inconvenience, and that's the point of this segment. That's all we have from the Midside this week. So, Dan, what have you learned?
Well, I was reminded that Justin does amazing impressions.
What do you mean?
Is that the researcher or the cultural leftist?
I have no idea. That's racist. Okay. And what did you learn this week, Doctor?
I learned that you have a larger capacity for offhand racist comments than I actually knew possible.
You didn't know me when I went to Ithaca College and I trolled all the leftists for 4 years.
We do have a troll in our midst, Dan.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So. Oh, yeah. I am certainly a troll. I am just a benevolent troll.
Have you ever seen the XKCD comic with the guy saying, "I can't go to bed, someone's wrong on the internet"? That was based off of Justin. That's what he does.
Yeah, I did. I don't do that as much anymore.
Because he's been kicked off all the forums where he used to do it.
That is true, which is why I learned I need to stop wasting all your time. And it's also why I started a podcast, because nobody can ban me from this. You're wasting all my time. You're wasting all my time. You're wasting all my time. So scream.